Glad to see you. Luke chapter 8 is what we're going to be looking at this evening. And what I'm doing on Sunday nights, I'll eventually be done with this, I suppose, is we're looking at the mystery text. There's several mystery texts in the scriptures that we've been looking at, and I'm going to give you the four we've covered so far. The first one is, we shall not all sleep. I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. The second one was the mystery of godliness. The third one was the mystery of his will. And then number four was the mystery hid from the ages. So that's the four mystery texts that we've covered so far. So tonight, we're going to do another one. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 8 again, Luke chapter 8. And we're going to deal with this mystery text that's been given here in this particular text. Now, this is the text I'm going to be looking at tonight is one that you know, pretty good. It's the parable of the sower. It's the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower gives you the different responses that people's going to have that hear the gospel. And there's four different responses. All God's people see it. So we want to get that. I think one purpose of this is to help those who sow. I'm a sower. If you're here tonight and you're born again, you should be a sower. Everywhere you work or where you live at or people you come into contact with, we need to sow the gospel seed. And God many times will put you in somebody's way, so to speak, and the purpose for that is that so that you can tell them about the gospel. We need to be about the Lord's business in sharing the gospel to other people, don't you agree? We should pray for doors of utterance. We should ask the Lord to open up hearts of those that we're speaking to. We can never lose vision of the salvation of the sinner. So it's very important that we all do that. We pray for doors of utterance. We pray for opportunities to share the gospel. And if we had asked, you know, the Bible says you have not because you. Now that would include this, wouldn't it? Would it not include this too? Lord, open me up a door to share Jesus with someone. We can also invite people, can't we? I think you can invite people too. And we try to get as many people in under the gospel message, under the scriptures that we can. So here in the book of Luke chapter 8 is going to be the fifth mystery text. And we're going to title this The Mystery of the Seed. The Mystery of the Seed. And this is going to be dealing with the parable of the sower. So I'm going to read that to you, and we'll have another word of prayer. Then we'll work our way through the text. Okay. It says in verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. What's a sower? Well, that's someone that's planting. Really, they're throwing out their seed in the cultivated ground, and what they want to do is they want to have it come up. That's the picture of it. So a sower goes out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Some didn't go into the cultivated ground, but they went outside the cultivated ground. Okay? Some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down of the fowls of the air and devoured it. Some fell upon a rock. Some of the seed went upon a rock. And as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Didn't have the moisture for it. You know, needed to be. Its roots needs to be grounded down in the dirt, but it was on a rock. We've seen that before, haven't we? You've seen you had a flower or something at your house, or you put it in rocky ground, and where it can't get deep, its roots can't get deep. When it gets hot, what does it do? It burns it up, and it kills it. So that's the picture that it's showing. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on what kind of ground? Good ground. Good ground. Okay, some fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit, some a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight for the privilege as we've read our parable that you preached 2,000 years ago. We pray that you'd grant me the unction of the Spirit. We pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit in this place so that we'd be able to preach and people be able to understand. And Father, we're thankful for all the blessings you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, I want you to notice that who he's speaking to in this text in verse 9, it says, and his disciples asked him, what might this parable be? So who's he speaking to? He's speaking to his apostles, his disciples. And his disciples asked him, what might this parable be? They didn't understand the parable. So Jesus was going to, in this text, explain what is meant by the parable. And what he's basically going to do is he's going to show you the different responses that people have whenever they hear the gospel. Different responses to the gospel message. Now remember, God's salvation message is the gospel, right? That's the power of God, the salvation to everyone that believes it. And if someone's going to be saved, they have to trust the gospel message. So that's the most important message that you can know what it is. Now what we do as God's people is we seek to sow that gospel seed. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. Do y'all agree with me? Amen. We're supposed to do that. We're to take that gospel seed because that's the power of God to salvation, and we're to sow that seed to as many people as we can. Now I didn't take the time to look the text up, but I give it to you before I can quote it best I can. It says, he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So what we want to do as a church is we want to sow a lot of seed. We got to sow a lot of seed. If you want to have a big harvest, you got to sow more than one plant. If you wanted a lot of tomatoes and you planted one plant, and you said, well, I'd like to have a tractor trailer full of tomatoes, and you planted one plant, probably ain't going to get a whole truckload out of that. Would y'all agree with me? So it's important that if we're as a church, if we're going to see people saved, not only do we pray for it, but we also plant for it and sow for it. It's important we do that. That's one of the reasons when the Lord saved our souls, and now that we're saved, we seek to win people to the Lord. We seek to share the gospel with people. We tell them about the gospel and about their need of salvation. And God will bring you into touch with people so that you can witness to them. Do y'all agree? And we need to do that. It's very important that we do that. As we go forth with the gospel, we'll see different responses to it, as I've already told you in the beginning. Sometimes it'll seem like people's getting real close, and then what happens? They just seem like they suddenly lose interest. I've witnessed the people before, and they seemed interested, and I thought, man, this is going well. And then something happens, and they lose interest in it. As fast as they came, they go. And I've seen that a lot of times. Now, I think that's the reason why the parable of the sowers is here. Because what it does is it gives the different responses that people has when they hear the gospel message. And when you read this and you look at it, you can understand why the Lord gave it to his disciples so they would keep from being discouraged. It can be very discouraging when you're working with people and you're giving the gospel to them and you're showing them the need of salvation, and then it seems like they're interested. I've had this happen for 38 years. People seem interested, and it seems like they're getting ready to make what we would call a decision for the things of the Lord, and they do make a decision. It's just no. No, I don't want no part of it. And then they, as fast as they came in, they go. So we know these things is going to happen. And you know why we know they're going to happen? Because the Lord told us so. And he gave the parable of the sower for the purpose of encouraging the sowers. All God's people say it. That's why he does it. Okay, y'all ready to get into this thing now? Now we realize he's talking to his apostles in verses 9 and 10. Let me read it again. And his disciples ask him, saying, what might this parable be? In other words, what does it mean? And he said unto him, it is given to you to know the mysteries. That's why I use this as a mystery text. The mysteries are passages or truths of the Word of God. And he said, it's given unto them. It was given unto them that they might know the mysteries or the teachings, the deeper teachings of the Word of God. That's why this is here. Okay. Now, what we're going to be looking at tonight is four responses. Four responses to the gospel message. And one of them will be you. One of them will be, one of these is going to fit everybody that's here. That's what's interesting, I think. One of these responses is going to fit you. So let's go ahead and move on down in it. Now here in the text, he's going to explain to you who taught this sermon right here. Jesus did. He taught this sermon. He's teaching it to his disciples because his disciples needed to be ready for the responses that people would have whenever they preached the gospel. It's not always going to be positive. As a matter of fact, more times than not, it's going to be rejected. All God's people said, more times than not, it's going to be rejected. So he wanted them as sowers. He wanted them as sowers to be ready for that kind of response. Now, are all of us that's born again sowers? I certainly hope so. We want a church full of sowers. If you want to see a big harvest, you got to sow a lot of seed. But if you don't sow seed, you can't really expect to see a very big harvest, can you? But we got to sow it. We got to sow it. So there are different things that we need to do in order to sow seed. And we do it different ways. We do it as a church, of course, through a radio broadcast, through an internet ministry, through Vacation Bible School, through Bring a Friend services. We do all these different things. But I always thought the main thing is this thing. I think if you, here's just me. If I seek to win one soul, and I seek to win more than that, but if I seek to win one soul and everybody else in this church seeks to reach one soul, if we got 100 people and all of them would respond to that, we'd have 200 people, wouldn't we? I'm not saying that for the purpose of numbers or anything of that nature. I'm just saying that if we want to see souls saved, we have to plant the seed in order to do that. And not only do we have to plant it, but we also have to go back and water it a bit and pray that the Holy Spirit would bring people in. I want you to get a burden for someone that's lost. Here's what I'm saying. I'm not asking you about 20 people. I want you to have a burden for one person. Now, you can do more than that. That'd be great. But if we get everyone to get a burden for one person, it makes a great big difference, I think. You think you might work with somebody, might be a neighbor, might be a coworker, friend, but you're seeking to work them. You seek to get them in church with you maybe so that they can hear the gospel, but you seek them out. If we lose vision of the salvation of the sinner, the church will die over time. And that's what we're here for. We're here to spread the gospel message, and we want other people to hear it. Now, collectively as a church, we reach out a lot. We have a big outreach. But each one of us individually should seek to win how many souls? One. How many? One. If you got 40 people, you have 80 people the next week. You have 80 people. That way we can brag if we got 80 people. No. We want them to hear the gospel so that they can be. It's about being saved. And it's about reaching out. That's what we're supposed to do. All God's people say it. So what happens is we're the sowers. We are the sowers. And our field is our home. Y'all agree? Our family. Our friends. Our coworkers. If we have coworkers, we work those fields. We work them. We give them the gospel. And if you get a whole church full of people doing that, hey, if you don't got, if you're not around a lot of people, but if you could just pray for souls. Pray, Lord, open me a door of utterance to share the gospel with somebody. If we don't do that, then what do you expect? The Bible says you have not because you ask not, but does that not also include souls? We ask to see them saved. We invite them out. We ask the Holy Spirit to open their hearts and their minds so that they can see. And it's hard to tell what would happen. We don't have to have a church full. Here tonight, we don't have a church full. We did this morning, but not tonight. But this just with what we have here tonight, if everybody reached out for one soul and pray for one soul and invite one soul, what would happen? Pretty big deal could happen. Sometimes we just, I ain't going to say it what my old football coach used to say it, but sometimes we just get happy the way we are. Just happy the way we are. But things need to change. There has to be a reach out in order to reach souls, okay? So the end of text sees the word of God. Now what happens, and I've seen this happen. Look at verse 12. Let's get into the text. Those by the wayside, here you have your sower, right? Some of the seed goes by the what again? It don't go into cultivated ground. You know how you use your tiller? I don't know if they used tillers back then or not, but they've used, I guess, a push tiller with a horse or something. But you got your tiller, you ground up your garden, so to speak. You get it ready to plant and all that. Now notice what it says. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh who? The devil. And you know what the devil does? What does it say that he does here? Then cometh the devil and he takes away the word out of their hearts. He takes away the words out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Oh, I've seen that. I've seen people come to church here and they're interested. It seemed like they're interested. Seemed like they're getting ready to make a decision, so to speak. And then what happens is they just lose interest. They just lose interest. And then they just quit. And I thought, what in the world did I do wrong? Well, you didn't really do anything wrong. What to say happened to them? The devil came and he took the seed out of their mind. And Satan works that way. Boy, he hates for a sinner man or a sinner person to hear the gospel. So he'll do everything he can to do what to that seed? Pluck it. He'll seek to pluck that seed completely out so that they won't be what? So they won't be saved. You have to have the gospel seed in the heart of a sinner for them to be saved. You got to have that gospel seed down in your heart. And we have to sow it. But the devil will come and do what again? He'll pluck it. He'll get it so that you won't consider it. And you'll think, here's what another thing under this same one here in this text about the devil plucking it. He'll tell you got plenty of time yet. He'll tell you got plenty of time. You can make a decision later. But I want to tell you something. When you say no, that's your decision. When you say, I'm going to wait till later, look up here at me. That's no. Because if you die like that, you're lost. You're lost. So you need to share the gospel with people. You need to invite them to the Lord's house. You need to pray that the Holy Spirit would open their heart. And you need to have a heart for souls. I like to see people cry over people in their family that's lost. Do y'all? I like to see that actually happen. Sometimes we get too, well, I don't know, how can I say it, cold? To where it doesn't really bother. So it's important that we do that. So the devil will seek to pluck the seed. And that's what you see here in the text. You sow that gospel, and then the devil will keep coming in trying to pluck it out of their mind and getting their mind on other things. That's what he does. That's how he works. Well, That's the first response in this text. That's the first response in this text. They hear it, but Satan plucks it out of their mind. Number two, are you ready for verse 14? I'm sorry, verse 13. It says, and they that are on the rock, here's a second response to the first response was the devil comes and plucks the seed. Everybody got it? Number two, they that are on the rock, this is a seed, and it doesn't really go into the proper place either, but it goes upon what we would call stony ground, rocky ground. So what happens is when the seed gets there and it takes root, the roots don't go very deep. So whenever it comes up and the heat hits it, what happens to it? We've all seen it, ain't we? What does it do? It just withers away. Have y'all, how many seen that before? Raise your right hand. I mean, it was just in a, it wasn't deep enough, and then it just completely withered away. It didn't produce no fruit. It didn't produce no fruit, but when it, because it didn't have no deep root in it, then it just withered away. That's what it did. Notice what else it says in the same text. Look back up verse 13. They that are on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with what? Joy. They receive it with joy. And that means a lot of enthusiasm. That's the idea of it. They receive the word with a lot of enthusiasm. They're excited. I'd love to see people excited. And there's nothing wrong with that, to be excited about the things of the Lord. But these respond that way. They respond that way. They on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with a lot of what again? Joy. With a lot of joy. But they don't have no what? No root. They don't have no root. And for a while they make it, but then after a time, what happens to them? They fall away. They fall away. Why did the Lord put this into Scripture? Keep you from to keep you from being sad when you see it happens. God told us that some would do this thing. God told us the different responses people was going to have whenever they hear the gospel preached. And this is what you see. I've done it for 38 years. I've seen every response on this list right here that the Lord gave with regard to the different responses that men and women have. They all on the rock are they which hear. They receive the word with what kind? With what? Joy, right? They receive the word with joy, but they don't have no what? Root. So when it gets hot, they just dry up. Notice it says, I like how it words it here, these have no root, which for a while believe. True faith isn't just for a while. True saving faith lasts. Oh, God's people say it. So they for a while believe, but in time of temptation, they fall away. How many of you have ever seen it? Raise your right hand. How many of you have ever saw it? Sprung up, it looked promising. Then in time of temptation, what do? They fall away. Have I seen that? Yep. I've seen the first one, and I've seen the second one. When you look at all of these are things that whenever you're sowing the seed, whenever you're working in the Lord's work and you're seeking to see souls saved, you see every response right here. And the reason why this is here is to keep you from getting discouraged. Beloved, the Lord does the saving. He's given us the privileges of spreading the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. He's given us the privilege to do that. We seek to reach somebody. We seek to reach our family, our co-workers, our friends, our neighbors. We seek to reach other people. And it's our heart's desire is that they would hear the gospel from us and they would at least know how to be saved. All God's people say it. They need to hear it. They need to know that you know it, and you need to share it with them. You're in bad shape when the scripture says, for a while, believe. For a while, believe. But then in time of temptation, what do? They fall away. They don't continue. You know, the scripture says, if you continue, I think it's John 8:31. If you continue, then ye are my disciples indeed. All God's people say it. If you do what? Continue. Then ye are my disciples indeed. All right, let's move on down to verse 14. Move down to verse 14. We're looking at the different responses that people will have whenever they hear the gospel message. One of them will be your response. Some of you have already trusted Christ as your Savior, so you're on the rock, so to speak. You've trusted Him, and you have eternal life, and you have a home in the Father's house. Oh, that's good. You're on the good ground, let me put it that way. Verse 14, are you ready for this next one? Say amen. Amen. Now remember, who's preaching this message right here? Jesus. And He's wanting you to know at the different responses that people will have when you sow the seed of the gospel seed. He wants you to know the responses. Lest you get what? Discouraged. Lest you get discouraged. Yeah. Verse 14. Those that fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth. Now, that's a good sign, isn't it? They heard the gospel, and they went what? They went forth. They start. Let me say it one more time. What do? They start. They hear it, and then they start out, and they start serving the Lord. But you see, they're amongst what? Thorns. And the thorns is going to do what to them? It's going to choke them out. Have you ever seen anybody choke out? You're going to choke them out. Watch this now. They fell amongst thorns, are they, which when they have heard, they go forth, that they get choked out. Now notice it gives three thorns here. Gives you three thorns that'll choke you out. Number one is cares. Cares. Like casting all care upon Him, for He cares for you. Cares. A care is a burden. Here it says they get choked out with what? Cares just eats them alive. How many times have you seen it? Someone's going through a hard time. Someone's going through a tribulation. And the care overwhelms them. And you think, well, where are they at? I haven't seen them in 2 months. Where are they at? I haven't seen them in 6 months. Or where have they been at? Then you look at, well, they're going through a hard time. Well, beloved, when you're going through a hard time, it's when you really need Jesus. I couldn't make it through certain times if it wasn't for Jesus. I mean, when you're born again and you're going through a hard time, you don't give up. You go to Jesus. You know, the scripture says that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. And He can strengthen your heart. And He does, and He will. Have you ever been strengthened by the Lord before? Amen. Man, He'll strengthen you up, boy. I go to Him. Beloved, I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you there's times that I feel like quitting. Really. Plenty of times that's happened in 38 years. You know why I don't quit? God strengthens me. He gets me fired up again, you know. He gets me worked up all over again, you know. But He helps me. That's where you go. That's where you go. You go to Him, and He will strengthen you. Scripture says, cast your burdens on the Lord. Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He'll help you. He'll strengthen you and help you. That's who we go to. Beloved, the Lord didn't call you to produce souls. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? We're to spread the gospel. God's the one that saves the souls. God's the one that saves the souls. Amen. He's the one that opens the heart. Lydia, the seller of purple, heart was opened by the Lord. We share the message. But who opens the heart? The Lord does. The Lord's the one that does it. So, you get choked with cares. Does anybody got any cares here tonight? You got any cares? You got something that's weighting you down? You know, cares makes you sad. Cares makes you sad. Sometimes I get cares, and sometimes there are many cares. We also call them burdens, too. We get cares in our life, and what are we supposed to do with cares again? Casting all care upon Him because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7 and 8, I think. Casting all cares upon Him because He cares for you. Would y'all agree with me tonight that no one cares for you like Jesus does? And what He has done for you is you have a free access to His throne anytime you need it. Amen. Free access. Now, beloved, a care is also called a burden. And you know what I do with my burdens? I cast them on the Lord. Now, you realize I walk out Plymouth all the time. That's where I go pray. I love to walk out Plymouth. You got to watch for snakes, though. But I love to walk out Plymouth and pray and talk to the Lord. But sometimes I'll go out that old hollow and I'm so burdened. You know, get so down and burdened sometimes over certain things. And I'll walk out that hollow, son, and let me tell you something. When I get done, time I walk back out, man, I feel a whole lot lighter. What did I do? It says, cast your burdens upon the Lord and He'll sustain you. That's what I do. You have the opportunity to cast. Why don't you cast it? You can either carry it or you can cast it. Which one do you want to do? Which one's going to make you better? Which one's going to lift you back up? Cast it. Aren't you glad you can cast it? Aren't you glad you can give it to Him? That's what I do. Here, Master, I can't handle this. This thing's killing me. Take this off me. Help me with this thing. And you know what? He don't take off of you. He'll give you sufficient grace to hold up under it. Remember, the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Remember that thorn he had in his flesh? And he went to the Lord three times over it. You know what the Lord did? He said, nope. You need that to keep you humble. Because of the abundance of revelations that I've given you and all this stuff, I'm going to allow you to have this burden because it'll keep you humble, all God's people said. Hey, you all agree with me on this? Every burden has a purpose for God's people. We hate burdens. But every burden has a purpose for God's people. All God's people say it. It's a glorious thing. Okay? Gosh, I got to hurry up. All right. The thorns gives you three thorns. We talked about the cares. What do you do with cares? You cast them. Riches. You ever seen anybody choke out by riches? They live to be rich. They might not be rich right now or might not ever be rich, but their pursuit of riches takes over their whole world. You ever see anybody do it? They can't think about anything but money or retirement or sitting back and just enjoying life. That's how they do. Just sitting back and enjoying life, you know. They're just burdened with all, with their riches. They want to have... You hear people say all the time, man, you get a job at that place over there you got a job for. You have a job for life. How long does that life last? You need to be... And here's what they say. They say you're set for life. You're not set for life unless you're set for death. And you don't want to know something about Jeff Arthur? I'm set for death. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go up. Either way, by death or by... I'm ready to go. Are y'all ready to go?
Amen.
That's what you need to have. All God's people needs to have that, and that's a glorious thing to have. All right. Cares. Riches. Cares. Choke people out. Riches will choke people out. Get so wrapped up with the God of get that that's all they can think about is riches. Money, cars, all these possessions. Here's the last one. Pleasures. It gives you the three weeds here that choke you out. It's cares, riches, what else? Pleasures. It's not necessarily a sinful pleasure. It's not necessarily a sinful pleasure. There's some pleasures that's not sinful in and of itself unless you put it ahead of God. It might not be a sinful pleasure at all unless you put it in place of God in your life. Then it becomes an idol to you. Cares, riches, pleasures, and what do they not bring? They bring no fruit. They bring no fruit to perfection. Children of God here tonight, God expects His children to bring forth fruit. Fruit not to get saved, but fruit because you are saved. You'll see a change in people's life when they're born again. And you'll see fruit. Now, I get excited when people make professions of faith. I do big time. But I love to see the fruit afterwards. I like to see people change. Old things pass away, the Scripture says. All things becomes new, new way of living. God makes you new when you're born again. He changes your life when you're born again. Okay? Verse 15, last one. But they that are on the good ground... See, the other ones was wayside, choked out, wasn't grounded properly. Two out of the three don't produce fruit. Two out of the three, or out of the four total in this text, don't produce no fruit. Is that about what you see?
Yeah.
Sure is. They on the good ground. Now, what kind of ground we want to be on? Good ground. But they that are on the good ground, which in an honest and a good heart. See, there's something wrong with the heart of the people that came before this group. But on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word. They heard the word, and then they do what? They keep it. They hear it, and they keep it. And look what they do in the very last part of verse 15. They bring forth fruit with patience or endurance. All God's people say it. They bring forth fruit. Saints of God that's here tonight, you know what you should see in your life? Fruit. You should see fruit. You should see a change. You should see a hunger in your heart for the things of the Lord. You should have a hunger for His book. All of this shows that a person is changed. What's sad? You know who taught this parable? Jesus. Out of three people, remember one went completely by the wayside. Out of three people that makes a profession of faith, too walk away, become unfruitful, and only one out of the three produces fruit. Who give that parable?
Jesus.
Why did he give that to us? So we won't get to, yeah, so we won't fall into that, and also so when we see it, we don't get discouraged. All God's people see it. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. Good to have you back here on this Sunday night.